Good morning and welcome to the broadcast. As always, I'd like to ask you to get a piece of paper and a pencil and write down the notes. Get a King James Bible and follow along with us as we study the Word of God this morning. I want you to turn in your Bible to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16, verse 17. It's the exact copy. Romans 16, verse 17. Read with me if you will. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. What? Boy, that's amazing, isn't it? Think about what it's saying. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own bellies, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the heart of the simple. It is so clear that the doctrine is the most important thing. There was, in the Old Testament, doctrines of offering blood sacrifice. I would think that most people would agree that that has come to a ceasing moment. Amen? Amen. And coming to that moment of ceasing, something else stepped up in its place. Another doctrine replaced that one. And that's exactly what we talk about on rightly dividing the truth. In fact, the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The idea in the passage is that it's a finding out the doctrine that God has written in your lives. And I believe in the Christian walk and the Christian life, but that isn't to take precedence over the Word of God and the doctrine of the Word of God, which the church should be following as it follows the Lord. Turn, if you will, to Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. In Titus chapter 1, I want you to read with me in verse 9. Titus 1, verse 9. The Bible says, hold fast the faithful words as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine. Now that tells me something about doctrine, doesn't it, you? That some of the doctrine may not be what? Sound. And what we want is sound doctrine. We want doctrine that isn't going to crumble under the scrutiny of other religions. We don't want the doctrine that is going to just fall apart. We want something that you can prove over and over and over and over again until finally people will have to say, that's the truth. That's what the Word of God is saying. That's what the Bible is saying to me. And this is so important because, listen, let me tell you what, we all should be speaking the same thing. Hold on to here in Titus and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I want to challenge you that someone is wrong. If we put a Baptist preacher up here, a Methodist preacher, a Church of Christ, and a Assembly of God or a Pentecostal preacher up here, if we started talking about baptism, something would be majorly wrong. And people don't like to talk about it, but the Bible tells them to mark them which cause division. Well, something then divides. Amen? Yeah. This Baptist preacher, he believes that you ought to be baptized for a testimony to your salvation. Amen? Isn't that what they teach? Yeah. And then you got the Methodists that believe that you ought to be baptized by sprinkling as a child or christening. Then you've got the Church of Christ. And the Church of Christ, I guarantee you, if you ask them if you could be saved without water baptism, and they would tell you, absolutely no way. Then you got then you got the Pentecostals believe you can't get the second blessing of the Spirit of God without being what? Water baptized. Something is wrong with the way that we study this Bible. Amen? Because the Bible tells me that we ought to all speak the same thing. The doctrine of the Word of God ought to be the same for everyone that's a believer. Look, if you will, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. The Bible says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same things. Well, let me ask a question. If I take these four men, are they all speaking the same thing? No, they're not. So, who's right? Do we go by personality? Do we go by how many people are at the church? No. What do we go by? What is the measurement? Well, the only measurement I know is the King James Bible. Amen. That's the only means that I can find out which one's true. Because if I, as a believer, cannot find out what is truth, then the Bible is of no value. Are you listening to me? If we can't come in determination to what God really said, then this Bible is useless. This Bible has no point in our lives. I believe it is a defining moment. I believe that Christians, are you listening to me? I believe Christians can know and prove the will of God. In fact, go if you will, to Romans chapter 12, and we're going to get right back to Titus in just a minute. I haven't forgot Titus. In Romans chapter 12, I want you to listen to the passage. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, the Bible says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may what? Prove. That you may prove." Boy, if you can't prove it, somebody's wrong in this baptism doctrine, amen? Amen. They haven't proved it out. The whole thing about court, the whole thing about a trial, is that you have a defense attorney trying to defend the person. Then you have a prosecuting. And that conflict, that testing, is supposed to rise the truth to the top. Isn't that amazing? Well, that's exactly how it is in the Word of God. Why, if no one ever challenges us, Baptist or Methodist or Church of Christ, and we're never challenged to think on our own, well, we'll just believe any truth, amen? Without some challenges to what people believe, why, we'll accept a lie. The idea is that I don't like people ask me questions that I sometimes can't answer. You know what that makes me do? Drive me back to the Word of God to check it out. Study. Why? We're to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Then I believe you can find in the Word of God that doctrine that is perfect and the will of God that is absolutely perfect.
Amen.
I think that's the challenge, isn't it? Go back to Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1 again. I want you to read with me in verse 9. Titus 1, verse 9. "Hold fast the faithful words as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers." And I remember what it said in Romans 16, verse 18, "And by good words and fair speeches deceive the heart of the wise." People walk out and they say, "Boy, that pastor, that was just a great message." And you know what? They grab one little verse, maybe even a half a verse, and they got you crying. Oh, you know, just, oh, that was great. And they know nothing more of the will of God than when they came in that morning. Folks, listen, let me tell you what, Christendom's in a mess. And Hosea, you know what the Bible says? And Hosea said, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." That's right. They don't study their Bible. People don't know how to study. They don't know what is the will of God for them. And so I hope as you turn into the program that you're starting to grasp a little bit of the truth that's in this Bible that will ignite your life and turn you on, fire it up for the Lord. I hope you fire it up. I hope you get your nose in the book and consider the things that are written in this King James Bible. Look at this. "Hold fast the faithful words that he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to convince, exhort, and to convince the gainsayers." You know who the gainsayers are? Yeah, they're people who tell truths. And they use a little bit of truth and then a big what? Lie. You know, that's how they do it. Is baptism in the Bible? Yes, it is. And so all four of these men use baptism out of the Bible. But which baptism is for you? Would you even know if it came to you? I've got a special issue that I'd like to send you on baptism. I hope you call into the program and say, "Brother Barry, I want that special issue on baptism. And I want you to study it out." And after having studied it out, if you don't believe the truth of the Word of God, rightly divided, then you have a problem, because there's evidence in this pamphlet that I'm talking about that if you really want to know about your baptism, about the thing that God prepared for you, you need to get this and read it. So call in. Let us know, because this is more important than the next ball game on the TV. Amen. He says, "For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, There's people out there, believe it or not, I hate to say this, that are trying to deceive you. How do you know? Well, you've got to learn to study your Bible. Amen?
Amen.
You've got to learn to study your... You know what? If you don't know who your apostle is, you know what's going to happen to you? You're going to be tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. That's what's going to happen. And it's not going to be your fault, but no one has taken the time to show you that God sent you an apostle. Nobody's taking time to say, hey, God sent... People say, well, Paul's one of the... No way is Paul one of the 12. No way! I mean, listen, let me tell you what. If you can believe one thing, you ought to believe this book. No way is Paul one. You have to know. And therefore, you can start to establish the doctrine based upon what God sent you. This thing about vain talkers and deceivers, this whole thing just gets to going so crazy, it's absolutely ridiculous. Look, if you will, in 2 Timothy chapter 2. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, I want you to read with me verse 23. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. Apt to teach. Teach what you think? Sound doctrine. Teach the doctrine. Bless God, the only thing that I'm called to do is preach the gospel and teach sound doctrine. Preach the gospel, teach sound doctrine. That's all I'm called to do. But these people trying to straighten out your life, probably not a good thing. I bet they don't even have their life straightened out. Amen? I mean, come on. The realization is I'm supposed to preach a gospel. That gospel is the gospel of Christ. What is that gospel? That Christ died for your sins. That message came solely through the Apostle Paul. That message came completely through the preaching of the cross that the Apostle Paul was given on that road to Damascus. Amen. And come to the knowledge of the truth, and I'm supposed to teach the doctrine for the church, which is the body of Christ, so that you can be rooted and established in the gospel.
Amen.
Wow. I'm not here to fix your sorry life. You understand? I'm not here to repair the ills of yours. Bless God, that's God's department. I'm here to declare unto you the gospel and the sound doctrine of this book, that you can be saved and established in the Word of God. Look at this. Apt to teach, patient. Verse 25, look at this. In meekness, instructing those... That in doing what? Instructing them. What do you think he's instructing in? Sound doctrine. Doctrine that is going to establish and build you up and make you a firmer believer. You know the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Well, let me just give you an example that if you were reading the wrong part of the Bible, how faith could be destroyed. Look, if you will, in John. And go to John 14. And this is in the Bible. In John 14, verse 12. The Bible says, verily, verily, I say unto you, that he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Well, I've never seen anybody pulled out of the grave. Have you? Well, Jesus did that. Why, if I believe that was written to me without rightly dividing, I would be absolutely confused, wouldn't you? I mean, I would think, well, why isn't that possible? I had a son that died not too long ago I'd love to see again. Come on, now if someone can do this, bring him on. He still lays in his grave waiting for that day of redemption. The catching out when the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Well, won't that be a great day?
Amen.
Look what he says. Verse 13, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. Well, haven't you asked something in the Lord's name and he didn't do it? Well, have you? You guys sitting there like you didn't hear me. Come on. I mean, haven't you ever asked anything in the Lord's name and he didn't do it? According to the passage, that's not true. According to the passage, he would do anything you ask in the name of the Lord. But you know what? Paul says, I don't even know what to pray for as God. That's how I am. You can't be doing John 14 and be doing Romans through Philemon. You're going to be confused. Jesus tells you to sell out. Paul tells you to lay up. Which one do you do? Jesus tells you to consider the lilies. They need a toil or something. I mean, you know, God clothed them. Don't work. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. Guess what? God took care of them. Yet your apostle says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, if you don't work, you don't eat. I bet you'll find the second true. How much you want to bet? Why am I trying? Listen, because it's the doctrine that matters. We need to determine the doctrine of the church today. We need to know what God's saying to us today. That's all that this is about. People want to make it something bigger than it is. It's just a very simple program trying to show you that we have to put on our thinking caps a little bit. Don't bite off all the lines of doctrine like a fish. I mean, a fish can't tell whether it's artificial or true. And you know what? That's true of people. That's why God said that, you know, about fishermen, fishers of men. You got to catch them the same way, but you got to catch them with the right truth. Otherwise, guess what? You're caught. But not by God. You're caught. But not by God. You're caught by Satan and his web. You say, well, what do you mean? Satan's out there preaching? Yeah. That's exactly what I'm saying. You mean some of those preachers in the pulpit are satanic forces? Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Well, you've got a lot of boldness. Amen. You know why? Because the Bible says they're out there preaching. He says, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ. Bless God, they're serving someone else, though. Watch them. Mark what they say with the Word of God. If they don't know who their apostle is, you probably ought to leave the church and come find a church that does know who their apostle is. Amen? Amen. Big deal. It's important, folks. This is your eternal salvation. It's your eternal rewards you're dealing with. This isn't something that isn't going, that's going to go away in a month. This isn't a problem that's going to go away in 2 months. Bless God, it's not going to go away forever. It's going to be permanently etched that you didn't study your Bible well enough to know what is the truth. And men of God don't want you to study. They want to be your authority. I don't want to be your authority. I want God's Word to be your authority. Look in 2 Corinthians 11, you see. Brother Barry, you mean preachers are out there preaching or of Satan? Well, let me just read the Word of God and let the Word of God say what it says. Amen?
Amen.
No, Brother Barry, yeah, let's get on with the Bible. What does the Bible say? 2 Corinthians 11, read with me in verse 13. For such are false apostles. You know, there are a lot of people out there that consider themselves apostles. Deceitful workers. Huh? They're deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. They were trying to teach you Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They think they're an apostle representing the doctrine of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You know what the doctrine is for you today? Romans 3, Philemon. Well, if someone was up there teaching Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, as it was written to you, and God said that He sent an apostle with your doctrine, Romans 3, Philemon. And last week we clearly showed that there was a difference between Peter and Paul. Amen? And if you didn't watch that program, call in. I'll send it to you. Yeah, I mean, come on. Let's get on with the program, because I believe this Bible and I want you to believe your Bible. I want you to walk away saying, man, I got something out of the Word of God today. I got a little biscuit out of the oven of a holy and righteous God that is warm and powerful. piping hot and tasted great. Boy, there are false apostles and deceitful workers, and bless God, they're trying to get you. How do you know? You're supposed to be studying, not going to church. You're not supposed to be part of the union and all this stuff, and you're supposed to be studying your Bible at night. The week of church has got you so busy, you won't even have time to sit and study the book. Amen? Watch it. Who are they following? Verse 14, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into the angel of light. I'm always scared to death when I hear those death stories and they say, I saw an angel of light. I'm thinking, I know who that was. Amen? I'm not being, I don't want to even be funny. This is so serious, it's unbelievable. The intensity that I see this is so scary because the world is filled with lost ideas and lost doctrines and doctrines of men and not the doctrines of Almighty God. Verse 15, it says, therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Well, you know what? My end isn't according to my work. My end is according to a work of a God that loved me and gave His Son for me that I might have eternal life. The work for me has been finished by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Done.
Amen.
It isn't about me. Christianity isn't about what I do. Christianity is about what a Savior did for you 2,000 years ago. That's what it's all about, Him.
Amen.
Well, I walked the aisle for Jesus. Yeah, well, Jesus went to the cross to die for you. I was baptized for Jesus. Yeah, well, He got nailed to a cross for you. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. Hey, I joined the church. Yeah, well, Jesus Christ made the church His body. I want you so badly to get the point that Paul is your apostle. Paul was sent to you with a message of grace. And he said, mark them which cause division. Why? There are some people out there that are teaching false truths. In fact, go to Ephesians. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I want you to read with me in verse 12. Jesus said in Ephesians 4, verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. You know, there's a lot of people being carried by winds that are sailing to a shore that they have no idea what's at the end of that shore. Those ships that are sailing will land in a place that they have no idea. So how is that? Well, look if you will in Proverbs chapter 7. Turn to Proverbs chapter 7. In Proverbs chapter 7, I'm just going to read a little bit, but there's a whore involved here. And that whore is a religious system. The whore is a student of Scripture. The whore is teaching doctrine. And he talks to some people. Verse 5. Proverbs 7, verse 5. That they may keep thee from the strange woman. Strange woman, from the stranger that flattereth with her words. What is she using? Words. Mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own bellies, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the heart of the sinful. This is the lady right here. This is the one that's doing it. Come on down. Verse 7. Behold, among the simple ones I discerned among the youth, a young man void of understanding. Huh. He wasn't studying his Bible at night, was playing Nintendo. Amen? Verse 10, and behold, there met him a woman with an attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. She is wild and stubborn, and her feet abide not in her house. They're always trying to get you to go to church. Coming to church isn't the issue. Church membership isn't the issue. The truth is the issue. You won't sit down and teach you the truth. You know why they have to invite you to their house? Because they don't know the truth themselves to teach you. Therefore, they just invite you in. Verse 13, so she called him and kissed him, and with imputed faith said unto him, I have a peace offering with me this day. Have I paid my vows? Therefore come I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestries and carved works like a lot of the churches today. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves, for the good man is not at home. I bet you don't even know who the good man is. It's the Lord Jesus Christ in the passage. The good man is not at home. He's on a long journey. He's up in glory right now. For he had taken a bag of money. I would imagine that's your redemption money that he paid for in blood on that cross. With him, and will come home at the day appointed. I imagine that's the second coming, if you want to believe your Bible. With her much fairer speech, where do we hear that? She causes him to yield, and with flattering of her lips, she forces him. He goeth after her straightway, as an ox goeth for the slaughter, as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver. Are you listening to the Bible? As a bird hasteneth to the snare, and know it not that it is for his life. This is for keeps, folks. This is for the real thing. This is for the... I mean, if you don't get it now, when it comes time for the rapture, you may miss out on the hope. Even though Jesus Christ paid for all of your sins, you may miss it. Look at this. Verse 24. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children. Attend to the words of my mouth, the word of God. Let not thine heart decline to her way. Go not astray in her path. For she has cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her, and her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Listen, let me tell you what. If you don't get the doctrine down in this Bible, it is going to cost you your eternal life. Amen. You need to know that Christ went to that cross and became sin for you. The only place you find that and that God would save the Gentiles is in 13 books in Romans through Philemon. Won't you call us? Won't you let us know that you're listening to the program? We'd love to hear from you. Thank you, and may God bless.